Hello and welcome to Savor. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about energy drinks.
Yeah, it's been an interesting research week.
Yeah.
Because we're doing energy drinks and birthday cake.
Yeah, I haven't consumed either of those products while researching this, but I still feel like sort of bad about myself.
Even though you didn't consume
Even though them. I didn't. I'm just like, oh, they're just both in my brain all sloshing around.
Yeah. And as I told Lauren before we started recording, that sounds like a very particular year in my college days. Birthday cake and energy drinks. And also like a song from an emo band.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. As sure as I am that someone has made a birthday cake flavored energy drink, I am sure that some band made that song.
And if you are that band, let us know.
Oh, yeah. Write in. I definitely want to hear that.
I do, too. It sounds right up my alley. I used to drink a lot of energy drinks, 2 to 3 a day.
What?
When I was in college. And when I was first an intern at this company, me and Matt Frederick.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have a problem.
Yeah. I'm just admitting it. Yes, I believe you. We would work really late, and we would each get, like, as the 6 p.m. hour rolls around, we would get one of those white sugar-free rock stars.
Big tall ones.
Yep. Yeah. Now I only drink them on road trips generally or when I have a very intense deadline. And I still go for the sugar-free rock stars. Not a sponsor. That's just what I would go for. Or those coffee-flavored monster ones. But they're very hard to find, actually.
Hmm.
Tricky in these parts. In fact, this is a fun peek behind the scenes.
Okay.
If you go back and listen to the maraschino cherry episode, I had woken up at 4:30 a.m. that morning and had driven 6 hours straight to the studio to record that episode, and I had had 3 to 4 energy drinks and some donuts.
Oh, my. Annie.
And I felt so high, like high as a kite. I was like,
yeah. I remember you kept, like, you sort of went into, like, cat mode. Like, you sort of kept, like, staring off into the corner at nothing real suddenly.
And I was just giggling.
And just giggling all the time. I mean, not that we don't normally do that, but extra.
Usually there's a reason.
Yep.
This was just giggling.
Yeah.
And I honestly have enough trouble falling asleep, so I don't really need any energy drinks.
You probably shouldn't do that.
No. This was not a good decision, but it is a decision. And I used to love Jolt and Surge when I was a kid.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my gosh. I loved them. I'd get them before I'd go to the movies. I don't know why. I wanted to be all jazzed up.
Yeah.
Ooh, Muppet Treasure Island. I remember that experience in particular. And I was mysteriously gifted with some Jolt socks recently.
Mysteriously? They just showed up?
They just showed up on my desk.
Huh.
I think Ramsey got them from someone else. I'm not offended by it, but I like them. They're comfortable. They're stylish. And I remember during the finals week at my college, if you went to, like, we had 2 student markets. If you went to them during finals week, you would see people walking out with cases of energy drinks.
Oh, my goodness.
And you had to get there, like, a whole week in advance if you wanted to get the top pick.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Very popular.
I was never that into – I found out early that I was caffeine sensitive. Like, the first time that I encountered a blended coffee drink, I was like, this is the most delicious thing ever. I should have 3. And I could see through time and space and feel my blood flowing through my veins,
right.
Like the individual cells.
Yeah.
So this was when I was, like, 17, 18 maybe. And, from that formative experience, I have been careful with – yeah, it's energy drinks didn't really – I mean, I guess Jolt and Surge were out when I was a kid. But, the true, like, Red Bull monster kind of era didn't come until I was a little bit older. I preferred the sugar-free Rockstar. Is that the one that you said that you like?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the white can?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know why.
See, we've got 2 people saying that that's the one. And also Maddie Fred, who I always –
DJ
Maddie Fred, I always go with him.
And in all things of taste, the 3 of us – are top level experts.
Yes. Have no doubt in your mind about that. Yeah. But okay.
Okay, yeah. I didn't drink them that often, mostly back in my club days, if you can imagine.
Oh, the club days.
If you can imagine someone with my haircut, I used to dye it black, and I went goth dancing a whole lot. And,
okay.
Yeah, goth and 80s dancing. And so I would let myself have half a can before we went, mm-hmm. and then I could drink the other half afterwards.
I love that so much. So you were, like, goth dancing fueled by
Rockstar.
I mean, I don't know why they haven't contacted you for sponsorship. Just seems like a missed opportunity.
I'm waiting for the call any day now.
I'm picturing, like, in South Park, that kind of their goth dancing, but you're in a club.
That's more or less what I looked like, I'm pretty sure.
Perfect.
Okay, all right. This brings us to our question.
Energy drinks. What are they?
Well, energy drinks are a category of usually carbonated beverage that's marketed specifically as having the ability to pep you up, make you awake, alert, energized. They can attempt this through any number of ingredients. Caffeine is often key. It's like a fun times nutritional supplement. That's the idea that they're selling. Anyway, flavors vary, but there's often a sort of like metallic or medicinal twinge to them and a lot of sweetness and some citric tartness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find that the flavor after two sips is not great.
It helps if they're very cold.
Yeah.
Because maybe that's just like numbing your taste buds. I don't know.
Right.
Some are sold as concentrated shots instead of like full-on beverages. And, okay, if you've ever wondered what all those ingredients you see listed on the cans are supposed to do, HowStuffWorks.com has a quick rundown. Caffeine, of course, is a stimulant that blocks adenosine in the brain, which causes a chain reaction that releases adrenaline. Your heart beats faster, your liver releases sugar into the bloodstream, and it ups the dopamine in your brain. You feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ephedrine is a stimulant that works on the central nervous system. It's a common ingredient in weight loss products and decongestants. There have been some concerns, as with overdoses of caffeine, about its effects on the heart. Taurine is an amino acid that's naturally produced by the body. It helps regulate heartbeat and muscle contractions. And, a lot of people aren't really sure. I mean, not just people, like researchers aren't sure, like, what effects it has as an additive. But the rumor that it comes from bull testicles is super false. That's not accurate.
I've never heard that rumor.
Oh, that's people would say that's why it's called Red Bull, because the taurine, that's one of the main ingredients, comes from.
But also, like, Taurus, you know, the.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. I mean, also bull testicles.
Why not?
Either or.
Ginseng is a root believed by some people to have a several medicinal properties, including reducing stress and perhaps boosting energy levels. B vitamins, we talk about those on the show a whole lot, actually. They're vitamins that very basically help convert sugar into energy. Guarana seed is another stimulant. It comes from a small shrub in Venezuela and Brazil, or that's where it's native to anyway. It contains caffeine, so it's a added source of caffeine.
Mm.
Carnitine is an amino acid that plays a role in fatty acid metabolism. Creatine is an acid that helps supply energy for muscle contractions. And ginkgo biloba is made from seeds of the ginkgo biloba tree. It's thought to enhance memory. Kind of a question mark there, nutritionally speaking. Let's get into health, speaking of nutritionally speaking.
Okay.
All right. Well, first of all, energy drinks can contain a lot of sugar.
Unless you're getting a sugar-free rock star. Again,
sure.
Not a sponsor.
No. like, for example, a 16-ounce bottle of Coke contains 52 grams of sugar. Some energy drinks contain, like, twice that.
Ooh.
Like 62 to 100.
Wow.
I've read. So, yeah, that kind of sugar content can, especially through repeated use over time, can decrease your body's ability to handle sugar, which can lead to diabetes. It's also not good for your gut bacteria. Like, the sugar will just feed, like, kind of the crappy ones, and the rest of them will go like, oh, no, what a world.
I know what that's like.
Oh, geez, I do too. There's some weird research out there, like the combination of caffeine, taurine, and guarana might promote and enhance apoptosis, which is the programmed cell death that your body carries out to, like, flush cells for a number of reasons, like maybe they've reached some biological expiry date, or maybe they've been stressed out by an attack from a virus or exposure to radiation, and your body's like, get rid of that, it's going to spread. It's generally a helpful process in the body, though too much of it leads to stuff like muscle atrophy or like blood disorders or neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's. So that's weird.
Yeah, that's pretty strange.
Yeah, I haven't read about what that is something that people have reported.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a Fallout drink. Wait, Fallout took place in the 50s. No, it's the future.
Yeah. It's the future 50s.
It's the future 50s. That's exactly what it is.
Which I find very charming.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
And then really the key ingredient in all of this, though, is that massive dose of caffeine. How massive is it? Well, a 5-hour energy has like 112 milligrams of caffeine. Some of those shot-style ones can have up to 200 milligrams. The drink-style beverages generally have like 70 to 240 milligrams. And for comparison, 12 ounces of cola has about 35 milligrams. Mm-hmm. An 8-ounce coffee has about 100 milligrams.
So a lot of caffeine.
So it's a bunch. And this is actually something fun that I learned in this research. Over-caffeination can lead to a medical condition called caffeine intoxication, the symptoms of which include anxiety, insomnia, gastrointestinal upset, muscle twitching, restlessness, and periods of inexhaustibility.
Inexhaustibility? My goodness.
Yeah. Also, caffeine is a diuretic, which means that it flushes more water than usual from your body through urine, so it's really easy to get dehydrated if you're drinking a lot of these.
Yes, which is why, and we're not going to go into this too much, but the whole Red Bull and vodka thing, that's why it caused a bit of a health scare.
Yeah. If you're pepping yourself up like that while also using a depressant, it can like really confuse a lot of signaling going on in your body and maybe make you think that you are less drunk than you are.
Yeah.
Which can lead to, like, car accidents and stuff like that.
Yes.
If you're cocky. And, like, all those things that I just said, I know that it sounds a little bit, like, a little bit dire, and I've got a couple more dire facts for you towards the end of the episode. But, like, okay. A lot of the supplements, including caffeine in energy drinks, have kind of, like, mixed results in your body. Really. Like, studies have shown that consuming a certain amount of energy drink will improve, like, endurance during exercise and the feeling of alertness, maybe your reaction times, probably your mood, your ability to concentrate. But when you take too much, those positive effects can turn negative real fast. Like generally, stimulants pep you up because they trick your brain into thinking that there is an emergency happening. So, you know, you're red alert. You're, like, primed for fight or flight. And that's okay short term or in small doses, but in larger doses or longer term, it's like overclocking your body. Like, it puts stresses on you at both a system and a cellular level. So drink responsibly.
Drink your energy drinks responsibly.
Yes. The recommendation is no more than one per day. One, like, 12-ounce. Wait, 16? Yeah, one unit per day.
One unit per day. Okay. I shall take this into consideration. Again, I rarely have them anymore. But a lot of people do, because if we look at numbers,
oh yeah,
energy drinks are a big business. In 2012, the energy drink market made $11 billion. Some have pointed out that really these drinks aren't that different from sodas, except when it comes to the price tag. And I have to say that was one of the most, like,
Joopy
facts of the episode for me.
Yeah. Well, it's a super dose of caffeine.
Yeah.
And the price tag. And after multivitamins, they are the most consumed dietary supplement for American teens and young adults.
Really?
Yeah. Not a surprise.
No.
I mean, the biggest demographic for them is men 18 to 34. And I think a third of young adults report drinking them. But
I mean, this is a different podcast, but when I look back at my time in high school, and this is when energy drinks were becoming big, that schedule I was on was ridiculous, and I can't believe that that was, like, expected of a high school student.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. I got maximum 4 hours of sleep a night.
Oh, yeah. And that was just, like, working.
Right, yeah.
Doing homework and stuff. Ooh. Different show, but I can see why energy drinks are a popular thing for young adults. But all right, what about the history of energy drinks?
What about it?
Well, there's a lot of it, but we'll get into that after a quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
I gotta say, energy drinks are pretty new, and they took off in the 2000s, which they do feel very early 2000s to me, but I didn't realize they were that new, or at least the ones that we, I think when we say energy drinks, what you're thinking of.
Yeah, the specific category. I mean, like, coffee and tea have been around for a minute.
Yes. And there was a pre-Columbian highly caffeinated drink in the Americas that people would drink and then promptly throw it up.
Oh.
It was seen as a purification ritual or perhaps a pre-battle stimulant or perhaps both.
Okay. Whatever you're into. Pre-Columbian dudes?
Yeah, we're not in a good space to tell them, to give them any kind of advice.
That is true on a number of levels.
Yes. The history of modern-day energy drinks began in the 1960s with a product from the Japanese company Taisho Pharmaceuticals. This drink, Lyptovan D, was advertised as a medicinal drink that raised energy levels with the help of a mixture of ingredients like taurine, niacin, and an array of vitamins and minerals. After the end of World War II, amphetamines were really popular, but laws passed in the 1950s made them much more difficult to access. Lyptovan D was meant to fill a market void, if you will. You could get these in small bottles, similar to a five-hour energy drink today. And this, along with other highly caffeinated and fortified drinks, became really popular among Japanese businessmen looking for success by the 1980s.
Huh, as opposed to, like, the cocaine thing that was happening over here.
I guess that's a parallel that we could draw, I suppose.
Maybe not.
An early commercial for one of these featured Arnold Schwarzenegger coming out of the can, like, genie-like.
I remember that.
Do you really?
It's great.
Oh, my gosh. I just had a moment of very intense regret that I didn't take the time to find the commercial. Arnold Schwarzenegger is coming up in a lot of episodes recently. I don't know what's going on. There was another commercial which featured a business superhero signing deals and making presentations, asking, "Can you fight for 24 hours a day? Businessman, businessman, Japanese businessman." It was very intense.
Okay.
Technically, in some places I looked at when I was researching this, some people include Coca-Cola in the timeline of energy drinks back during the brief period when cocaine was one of the ingredients.
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
Coca-Cola still denies that.
Yes, they do. Also, some people included the predecessor to Coca-Cola, French Coca Wine, and you can see our soda episode for more about that. Mm-hmm. While Japan normally gets the credit, there were a few other contenders. One comes from the UK in 1927, invented by chemist William Owen. It was called Glucozade, and it was sold to hospitals as a way to provide energy to patients with cold and or flu. The name changed to Lucozade in 1929. It rebranded in 1983 with this slogan, "Lucozade replaces lost energy." And sales tripled in 6 years after that rebrand. So, Hey, I believe it's still around. I think you can still get it. Another contender, Dr. Enuf. E-N-U-F.
Yeah.
A vitamin-fortified caffeinated soda, which was invented in Chicago in 1949. It never sold very well, but apparently you can still find it in Tennessee, I believe.
Yeah, I picked up a bottle while we were at, it's like sitting either in my desk or at home. I'll bust it out.
You have a bottle of Dr. Enuf?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is great. Dr. Enuf's tagline was, by the way, and I don't know why this tagline didn't help it break the sales chart. Huh. The answer to a housewife's prayer. The bosom companion of a tired farmer or businessman. And a shift into high gear for young Johnny or Mary.
What?
It could do a lot of things.
It could.
But apparently not sell.
It was for everybody except...
And no one at all.
Anyone.
Skipping ahead to the 1980s, soda companies were doing their utmost to compete with coffee.
Ah.
Things like Jolt Cola, which promised all the sugar and twice the caffeine. Coke had ads calling for Coca-Cola in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Not to be outdone, Pepsi introduced Pepsi AM. Pepsi AM.
I try to be tolerant of other people's food ways, y'all, but I get genuinely grossed out when I see people drinking Coca-Cola in the morning.
I think that that is a thing in some places in the world. I think that that is a fact that we will get to later on.
I'm happy for people to be happy, but oof, it just makes my stomach gurgle.
Oh, my mom does that. She drinks a sugar-free Dr. Pepper in the morning for the caffeine because she can't have, the coffee's too much.
Too much.
And she doesn't like tea.
Okay. Yeah, no, do what makes you happy.
Yeah, Mom. In 1987, a big name enters the drink scene, Red Bull.
Yeah.
It was essentially the same as Lipton D. And by this time, Japanese energy drinks like that one had made their way to Europe, but with the addition of caffeine and sugar and carbonation. The drink, invented by an Austrian named Dietrich Mateschitz, was named after the taurine amino acid. Mateschitz was the international marketing director of an Austrian company that sold bathroom products before he discovered energy drinks, not in Europe, but while on a business trip to Bangkok. And he quit his job in 1984 to join forces with a Thai energy drink company that produced Krating Dong, also known as Thai Red Bull. The inventor of Thai Red Bull, Kaleo Yuvija, died in 2012 as one of the richest people in the world.
Wow.
From what I understand, it was essentially the exact
same formulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For over a decade, Red Bull stayed mostly confined to Europe. It wasn't until 1997, which, just by the way, was a very formative year in my life, that Red Bull debuted in the United States. New millennium, new you, new energy drinks. Hanson Natural developed Monster and introduced it to the market. In 2004, we see 5-Hour Energy start to appear in stores. From 2005 to 2006, sales of energy drinks in the U.S. took off, increasing by 61%.
Ooh.
Red Bull, the most well-known energy drink by then, topped an annual $2 billion in global sales. Also in 2005, we get Fusion Pharmaceuticals Four Loko, the alcoholic energy drink. And as you might imagine, this drink raised a lot of health concerns, and it was removed and reformulated to get rid of the caffeine, taurine, and guarana, and then reintroduced on shelves in the U.S. in 2010. And I remember being in 10th grade in health class and hearing stories of kids whose hearts had stopped because of energy drinks. And in 2012, it was reported that over a 4-year period, 5-Hour Energy was the cause of 13 deaths. Perhaps because of this, Washington State took steps to make energy drinks illegal for children under 18. France, Denmark, and Norway have banned Red Bull, and Canada requires that it comes with a warning label. In the U.S., it has been involved in over 90 filings with the FDA since 2009.
From 2007 to 2011, the number of emergency room visits due to energy drinks doubled. And as of 2011, 42% of those visits involved taking energy drinks alongside alcohol or other drugs.
Yeah. Yep. Over the years, energy drinks have promised all kinds of things. Not only energy, but things like invigorating your genital organs.
Huh.
I find energy drinks have a certain type of extreme in-your-face advertising. There's an ad for cocaine, the energy drink. It's called cocaine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting branding.
That implies drinking it will turn you into a super cool vampire.
Not like a lame vampire?
No, like a really cool one. Like, in your face, vampire, in a club.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So that's about the story of energy drinks. I don't know why we didn't do the whole episode in that, like, in your face.
Yeah.
It was missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. I mean, I guess we can just start over again from the top right now.
I have to go get an energy drink if we're going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know how long my vocal cords would last doing that, but...
We could always give it a old college try, as they say. Well, we still have a little more for you.
We do. But first, we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
One more bonus fact. I forgot to look it up before we got into the studio, so I just Googled it right now. But, okay, so why are energy drinks so yellow? They're so yellow.
They're so yellow, yeah.
They're kind of a gross color, really. Which is why I'm very glad that they're sold in cans and not bottles. But, yes, it's from beta-carotene. It's from one of the things that our body uses to make vitamin A.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It also makes carrots that color and cheese yellow.
I can't wait till we do an episode on carrots.
Ooh, it's going to be a good one.
I used to eat a bag of carrots every day, like a big bag, because my vision was deteriorating.
Oh.
And I, you know, the
sure,
they
the
say,
thing.
But I can't wait to do the research, because from what I understand, it's actually just night vision that it helps. It might be no vision, but I thought it was going to help all of my vision.
All of your, sure, yeah.
Nope. Still have to get glasses.
It's basically based, there's a little bit of nutritional fact in there, but it's basically just World War II propaganda from UK fighter pilots.
Darn it, World War II propaganda and poor middle school me eating a bag of carrots every day.
Hey, that's like a lot of fiber. That's great.
I did it as someone like, here we go. And I'd be towards the end, like, shaking, trying to get more carrots.
Well, I'm sorry.
Very effective.
I'm sorry, past Annie.
Yeah, after that, like, I felt so betrayed. I didn't eat carrots for years. And plus, you know, they'd make me nauseous. Like,
sure.
Feel nauseated when I would eat them because I'd been eating bags of them.
Yeah. That's not a serving size, no.
Oh, it wasn't good. I switched to bags of M&M peanuts, and that was worse. Anyway, this about brings us to the end of our episode on energy drinks with a brief aside about carrots.
Brief carrot aside.
Episode forthcoming.
Yeah.
And to listen to we have a future in this.
I think that's clear.
Obviously. Whoever, get a hold of us. All right. Chris wrote, I'm a PhD candidate in food science at UC Davis, and I've been listening to the podcast for years. I'm super excited to listen to your episode about oranges because I now have something to write in about. My dissertation work is actually centered around citrus greening and the impact it has on important biological pathways in the plant by using some pretty awesome analytical chemistry and molecular biology techniques. In academic circles, we usually refer to citrus greening by the Chinese name huangdongbing, abbreviated HLB, and it is a major concern among citrus growers in California. Most of Florida's oranges are processed into juice, and juice from infected trees can be blended with that of healthy trees below a certain threshold without being noticeably bitter to a consumer. The vast majority of California-grown citrus, however, is eaten fresh, which means there is no way to hide bitter, misshapen, discolored, or otherwise defective fruit. A major complication for growers is that the early symptoms of HLB are easy to confuse with common nutrient deficiencies or other diseases like citrus tristeza, maybe, and citrus stubborn. I don't want to give away too much information about my research. Gotcha. But my end goal is to understand how key pathways in the orange trees are manipulated in response to any of these stresses and pathogens. That is so cool.
That's so fascinating. Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Oh, man.
We love hearing from folks doing food research.
Yeah, yeah. When you publish, Chris, would you send us like a link to your paper that... Oh.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Victoria wrote... I literally just thought of recommending ice as a topic for you lovely ladies when I updated my podcasts and saw you beat me to the punch. For history, in South Bristol, Maine, my neighbor town is the Thompson Ice House. They are still open and provide ice for the area. In February, weather permitting, they host an ice harvesting party at the pond and store huge blocks in the ice house, which is insulated by sawdust. The ice is bought and used by local fishermen for the long sea trips. Locals can also buy ice in the summer. And speaking of summer, Thompson Ice House holds an ice cream social every summer, this year held on July 7th, 2019, using the ice from the pond. It is so delicious. Ah, oh, that's lovely.
A real functioning ice house.
Yes. Oh, I've never, I didn't know such a thing still existed in the world. Oh, I want to go.
I know. We have to.
Yeah. You look cold just thinking about it. And Annie just visibly shivered. She's also wearing a parka in here right now, you guys.
It's chilly.
I like took off my flannel to like just hang out in my t-shirt. And she's like, we're all doing just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would love to visit the ice house, but I would come very prepared. Oh. I perhaps might look a little ridiculous.
That's okay. Oh, no. That's fine.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thanks to both of them for writing in. You can also write to us.
Yes.
Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SaverPod. We do hope to hear from you. Thank you, as always, to our super producers, Andrew Howard and Dylan Fagan. Thank you to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are
coming your way!